Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Giannis for three. His third tonight.
Welcome to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, presented by Hupie and Abraham and featuring Steve Novak.
With a three, oh, that may seal it right there. A big-time Brogdon triple.
Now, here's Steve Novak and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back, and we are broadcasting live at Rare Steakhouse Milwaukee. We are down here in, downtown Milwaukee, and we're waiting for Sterling Brown. He'll be joining us. I am Bill Michaels. We are joined by Steve Novak as the Milwaukee Bucks get a big win yesterday, and they knock off the Boston Celtics both games. Both games they take in Boston. Steve, as we wait for Sterling to get here, how big? Let me ask you this. Did you expect them to win both games?
Honestly, I didn't. After game one, I would say this. There was this pit in my stomach that I went, the Bucks have won 60 games. They've been the clear best team in the league all year long. And now they're playing the Boston Celtics again, and something is up with the Celtics. They've got the Bucks number. But then after game two, you saw, okay, well, the Bucks lost by 20, but they also won by 20. But going to Boston, you just know playing there is such an animal. TD Garden is crazy. They have great fans. They played so well there last year. But, man, oh, man, I was wrong, and I'm so glad I was wrong. They won both, Bill.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that was.
I thought they had a shot at winning game one. When they won game one, I thought, you know what, they're going to get Boston's best in game two.
Yeah.
And it seemed like when Boston would get a lead, and as soon as the Bucks would start coming back, that Boston looked almost shell-shocked. Like they just figured out they couldn't put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got into a lot of one-on-one basketball, a lot of one-on-one for Kyrie.
Yep.
And one of the national things, the narratives have been, you know, how
I
Kyrie
love
is,
the national stuff,
you know,
right
it's,
now.
It's how Kyrie is not hitting his shots. And my thought is, the Bucks were the number one defensive team in the league this year. Can we just give the Bucks a little credit for keeping somebody on him between Bledsoe, George Hill, or
no,
who I think has had
that's no fun, Bill. We don't
postseason.
We don't want that.
They kept a hand in his face. They made him shoot off balance. They made him shoot quicker than he would normally have liked to. And it just he's been out of sync. It's not all Kyrie. I think it has a lot to do with the way the Bucks play defense.
You mean to tell me you think the number one team defensively all season long had something to do with Kyrie missing shots? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think I paid attention to Bucks basketball all season long. Some of these national people didn't. I think they were kind of like thinking the Bucks were going to be good. They didn't think they'd be this good. Maybe get through the first round, Boston would beat them, and then we could talk about other narratives. And now they have to talk about the Bucks, so they're all scrambling to figure out why this team is so good.
They sure are. You know what? That's what winning two games in Boston has done. You're right. There is this national scramble right now to figure out, okay, I need to go back and watch some of these games. I need to go figure out Giannis. Obviously, he is the MVP. I should have been watching more earlier. We should have been more positive. Instead of saying, oh, the Bucks for the last 18 years haven't made it out of the first round, so they've got to prove it to me that they're good enough to win in the first round. That's what we were hearing as of just a couple weeks ago. Once they win in the first round, then we'll believe it. We haven't seen it in so long. And I think this. We can believe our eyes. We can trust our eyes. We've watched Giannis all year. We've watched Bud's system all year. We've watched this defense. We've watched the bench. Pat Connaughton, George Hill lately. It's been guys like DJ Wilson, Ilyasova, Nico, all these guys. We've watched that. This team, we can believe what we're watching. It doesn't need to be it's Milwaukee. They haven't done it in 18 years. This is not the Bucks from the last 18 years. This team is more similar to the 70-71 team than it is the last 18 years. There's no doubt. There's a lot of comparisons to some guy named Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, with our guy Giannis. This is a special time, and I think everybody, including all the national pundits, absolutely need to take notice and realize this is a special time. It reminds me of Steph Curry. People were going, oh, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, do you think Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time? I went, hands down. Are you kidding me? What he's doing? He's running point. He's out here making threes. He's hitting shots off pull-up. He's shooting the ball 90% from free throw, 50% from two, 47% from three. He's by far doing this, and he's winning championships shooting the three ball, which just a couple years ago was considered settling. And so, yes, we are in a moment where a guy like Steph Curry is currently and will for a very, very long time be the greatest shooter of all time. And Giannis in Milwaukee right now is the MVP, is the greatest player in the game, and is 24 years old.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time.
The one thing that I had made a mention of was that he doesn't have KD alongside. He doesn't have, you know, Paul alongside. He doesn't have Westbrook alongside. He doesn't have any of these guys where he went out and had to get a superstar to be great. It's kind of like it's Giannis, and it's a team of guys that believe in what it is they're doing. And we've heard this all season long. I mean, it's nothing. I'm not breaking new ground here. It's just a guy. It's a group of guys that believe in what they're doing, and they all know their role. That's the best part about it. And Budenholzer's got them all buying in. And I think there's something to be said about team chemistry. There's something to be said about everybody knowing their role. There's something to be said for every guy has an opportunity. And the best part about it is Budenholzer, when somebody has gotten hot, he's just said, hey, you're the hot hand, go. You know, it's not like this forced rotation that we have to stick to. It's just whoever's hot, here you go, go with it.
Absolutely. And Giannis, to his credit, he allows that to happen as well. There's a lot of stars in this league that – you could have Coach Bud as a coach, and you could have a great system, but the star has a ton of power. And if he wants to shoot 30 shots a game, a lot of times the truth is he can shoot 30 shots a game. He cannot make the simple pass. He cannot make the simple play, and it's hard to win that way. But Coach Bud's system, like you said, has allowed guys to come off the bench and play consistent minutes throughout the year and use Giannis in a way that give him the ball, Giannis will make the right plays. Charles Barkley talked about this the other night, and he was talking about Jokic for Denver. When the best player on your team is overly unselfish, is finding other guys, is getting guys the ball in the corner, is bringing the ball up and doing dribble handoffs, always has his eyes up and is looking for guys, it's easy for all four other guys on the court to play hard, to make the hard cut, to be ready to shoot, because they know if they continue to do that, they're going to always get the ball in the right spots. They're going to continue to get opportunities. Giannis is that for this Milwaukee Bucks team. Coach Bud's system puts the right guys in the right spots. And Giannis, with his unselfishness, willing to drive to the rack, take a beating every night, finish if it's there. But if it's not and they put two, three guys, Giannis, he'll kick the ball. He'll find those guys. And so, I mean it. He's a special scorer, as dominant as we've seen in the paint since Shaq. But I'm telling you, the way that he finds guys and gets guys the ball, and, you know, someone's got to knock it down. And this group this year, he's been surrounded with shooters, and they've done a great job of knocking down shots.
It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, broadcasting live at Rare Steakhouse, Milwaukee. If you want to come down, there's still some room if you want to get in here. Steve Novak alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. The Celtics have it seemed like going into the postseason they put it all together. What have the Bucks done that has really kind of dismantled that confidence? And I say that in the sense that they got up early, but they never looked assured of themselves. Maybe in game three, when they got into Boston, they looked pretty good early on, and then the Bucks came storming back. I kept saying, if the Bucks are close at halftime, the third quarter has been the turnstile for this team, when they just go through it and they start to take off. So what have they done that they have made such tremendous adjustments at halftime to be able to say, okay, the third quarter is ours, we'll own it, and then from there on we're going to run away with the game?
They have, and you're right about the third quarter. I think what they've done is really – wear the Boston Celtics down. Like you said, it's been close games at halftime a lot of times, but stopping Giannis for four quarters is different than stopping him for a half. And the Milwaukee Bucks have been so good offensively with just not being apologetic for drawing charges. Giannis not being sorry for going 100 miles per hour downhill. When Brook Lopez misses 12 threes in a game, which he did this year, and goes 0 for 12, no apologies, we're not changing, we're going to continue to be who we are. So I think that the Bucks' belief in who they are has gotten them to that 60-win mark in the regular season. And now you're seeing in the playoffs that because they have been playing the same way and believing in themselves the whole year, that in games in the playoffs where it's a very good team against the Boston Celtics, they can maybe hold you down for a half. But the Bucks, I think more than anybody in the league, have not adjusted who they are. And teams are therefore having to adjust to who the Bucks are, but they cannot play that game that the Bucks want to play as well as the Bucks can, because they're the team that's being adjusted to right now, and they have been all season long. So I think you're seeing it in the third quarter, like you said, huge. It's been huge. Whoever's won the third quarter, all four games so far, has won the game, and the Bucks have been dominant in the last three.
Mirotić and Brook Lopez have struggled. Both of those guys, they're outside shot. At this point in time, I mean, Lopez, he's had some big blocks. He's had a couple of big buckets that have come in timely fashion. But overall, the offensive game has really struggled. What do you do as a shooter? His game is he can put it up from anywhere. So yeah. He's been he has fired up some shots that not even found the net or the rim. So what do you do as a shooter when you're struggling that bad?
You have as short a memory as you possibly can. I mean that. I think all the great shooters figure out that whether they made the last shot, they missed the last shot, they airballed it, it doesn't matter. You're not scared. You don't care if you missed the last 10 or made the last 10. If you can honestly believe, and you should be able to, if you analytically study shooting and the analytics of shooting and of basketball, forget the last shot. It has no impact on the next one. Every shot is its own. And if you're a great shooter and you're going to shoot 100,000 shots in a year or in 2 years' time, that needs to give you enough confidence that, hey, look, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to do my job. I'm not scared to miss. If it goes in, great. If I miss, great. But you got to go out there and do your job. Niko Mirotić is a guy who's shot 7 threes a game. He's been a 15-point-a-game scorer, starter in this league. He's got to just continue to be who he is. And I think he is absolutely trying to still find that rhythm. And I honestly, I want to say I guarantee, but I don't like saying guarantee. Niko Mirotić is going to have a huge game in these playoffs at some point. And we're going to be talking about him having a 30-point game, having a breakout, because he's been trying to get in rhythm. He's been knick-knacked here with injuries here and there. He's going to be a big piece for the Bucks. He's going to have a big-time game at some point.
We've had Pat Connaughton on a couple of times this season, and I was sitting there today, and I thought if I had to pick an unsung hero in this postseason so far for the Bucks, would it be Pat or would it be George Hill?
Yeah.
George Hill was even in game one when they lost, George Hill was a stabilizing factor when he came in. It just kind of calmed everybody down to kind of put him back on track. Pat Connaughton, his defense has been stellar. His shooting, he's come up with some clutch shots. Obviously, that big bucket last night, the block, and then he gets the bounce pass down the court. He ends up, kind of jamming it home, and then it just turned the tide. They both have come up huge in this game or in this series, and they both have played extremely well all throughout the postseason.
They have, and it's been one of the Bucks' greatest strengths, for sure, having that depth. And to Coach Bud's credit, like you talked about earlier, the way that he has never sat anybody on this team and put him at the end of the bench and made them feel like you're not going to play this year or you're not valuable enough for me to play consistently. Pat Connaughton got spot minutes here and there early in the year. Then he sat for a while. Then he played again. George Hill came, didn't play great, missed a bunch of shots early when he first got here. Coach Bud believed in him, stayed with him. But specifically, their performances against the Boston Celtics, having Pat Connaughton score 8 straight points in game 3, big time. Having George Hill score 8 straight points in the third quarter last game, those guys coming in when Malcolm Brogdon has been out, and in game 3, Pat and George combined for 35 points. That's what championship teams look like. That's what championship teams get out of guys like their bench, because they come in, they get contributions. Somebody's going to get banged up at some point like Malcolm did. If no one steps up, you lose, you go home. It's simple as that. If guys step up like the Bucks have had guys doing, Pat and George, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit, and it makes them really hard to beat, because when Giannis is on that bench in the third quarter, like we saw just last game, and Middleton's not making shots for a period of time, those two guys carried the tie. They bumped the lead up. It was impressive.
What would you suggest? I mean, we know that Malcolm was not brought back for game 4. Game 5 now, there's a lot of questions. Will he or will he not? To me, don't bring him back yet. You're concentrating on whatever adjustments Boston's going to do. Try to win game 5, close it out, and then getting back into a rhythm, practicing with the team if indeed he's ready, and then you bring him back for the next series. I don't necessarily think that you need to force him back into this lineup at this point.
No, it's pretty crazy to be thinking the Bucks have the luxury of saying, should we? We maybe don't need to. But I think, the Bucks have had some luxuries this year where they've not had to play guys crazy minutes. So, again, I think, because they've won 45 out of their 60 wins, we're by double digits, they've had that luxury. They had the luxury of resting at the end of the season because they were locked in at the one seed with 3 games left in the season. Again, in the playoffs, up 3-1, I think there is a little bit of a luxury. You don't have to rush him back. I have no idea kind of what that medical staff and what Malcolm is feeling, but I don't think that there is probably any crazy urgency to say, we need you. If we don't have you in game 5, we're in trouble, because, like you just said, there's other guys that have stepped up, and when Malcolm comes back, we know that he'll be able to step right in there and slowly get back to where he was.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's been traveling with the team. He's been working out. Mm-hmm. We knew when he talked to us a couple of weeks ago that he was still sore. There was still some pain there, and they weren't going to let him play. And I had said at the time that I didn't think, even if he was pain-free the next day, it would take at least a week to get him back in. So you knew he was going to miss the first couple of games. At this point in time, just let him work himself back into a rhythm with the team. Because the team at this point, you tell me what it's like, though. But at the team at this point, you're concentrating on adjustments, getting your body ready. You're not into a rhythm of practice, so to speak, where you're trying to work plays and work guys in. This is just now a little bit of film study, getting your shots in, getting your work done, and getting back and getting rest.
For sure. I mean, I think with the repetition of the way the playoffs are right now for Milwaukee, they're playing well. I think they have a really unique and great routine where they call it the daily vitamin, where the guys really, before practice starts, they all get their work in, whatever skill work they need to do with their individual coaches, the film work that they need to look at from the game before. And, you know, I think whatever thoughts that their specific coach has for them going into next game, hey, think about this. Hey, Coach Bud was saying we might use you in the second half a little bit more because we're seeing this. So they're really spending that focused time right now before practice. And then when practice comes, like you said, here's what we got to just remember and all be on the same page as a team going into game five for Boston. And I'll tell you, it's working for them. These guys have looked fresh. They have been able to rest. Guys have continued to step up. Game one was, I think it's safe to call it a fluke at this point, Bill.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, well, I go back to what Vin Baker said. Vin Baker said it was the layoff. He talked about a long period of time in which they had to rest. They didn't have meaningful basketball down the stretch, as you had mentioned.
Which I think it's a valid point, an excuse if you want it to be, yeah.
They had three games. They had the number one seed locked up.
Yep.
Then they had kind of an easy time of it with Detroit.
Yep.
So they didn't have that rough and tumble basketball going on for a while. And then finally they got punched in the face and they didn't react very well. But to me, that might have been the best thing to happen to them, because it was a huge wake-up call.
If you go and win the next game by 21 and the next one by 7, I guess it got close at the end there. And then last night they won by 12. You know, like you said, hey, getting punched in the face might not be the worst thing sometimes. And, look, if they can finish the series out tomorrow, and I know the Bucks aren't jumping to any conclusions, but if they can, we'll be talking about a Milwaukee Bucks team that won 8 out of 9 playoff games and are headed to the conference finals waiting to see who they play, Toronto or Philly. I mean, look, there's still work to do. One game can swing a series. Don't ever forget that. I mean, if Boston is able to muster something and get a win, you go back to Boston. Boston's fans, if you don't think they're going to be – out of their minds, you got to take care of business. So you're not there till you're there, but this team has been consistent.
It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak. I'm Bill Michaels, presented by Hupie and Abraham. We are broadcasting live down here at Rare Steakhouse, Milwaukee. If you want to come by and say hi, Sterling Brown is in the house. We'll be joined by him coming up here shortly. Stay tuned. We've got more of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour right after this. Welcome back. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, and I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live down here at Rare Steakhouse, Milwaukee. Steve Novak, the Bucks television analyst, also former Buck himself, my co-host down here tonight as well. And joining us now here at the table is Sterling Brown of your Milwaukee Bucks.
Thank you.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Yeah?
No complaints. Yeah, feeling good.
So what was it like?
I bet he's feeling good right now, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you gotta be feeling good right now, right? Yeah, so what was it like last night as your time wound down and you guys realized you stole two over at over in Boston?
Oh, man, it was great. It was a lot of fun, man, going there and getting those two games. You know, we needed them last year. You know, we couldn't get it done in Boston. We lost all three games. We went there, and it was a much-needed road trip that we took care of business.
And what were the Boston fans like? I know there were a few Pat Connaughton fans there.
Oh yeah,
him growing up right
there.
But was it as loud as it sounded on TV? Were they yelling stuff, or were you guys able to keep them out of it?
No, we kept them out of it pretty much both games. They didn't get that loud. I expected them to be where the roof is going, jump off the building like they did a few times last year, but. We stayed on them. We kept them, pretty contained. The team, I should say, and the crowd, they weren't able to get into it. So that's a good thing for us.
What has it been at halftime that's made such a difference? Because Steve and I are talking, the team that's won the third quarter has been the team that's won the game.
Mm-hmm.
What difference has it made at halftime where you guys come out in the third quarter, you kind of take their best shot, and then just things begin to flow?
Yeah, just our focus, our competitive nature just comes into effect. You know, we want to win. We know that, you know, once you come out, you got to come out strong, because if they get going and they get any type of rhythm, momentum going, then it's going to be a long ball game. So, you know, we always say at halftime, these first 5 minutes, you know, once we come back out, we got to jump on them, and we've been doing, a great job with it.
Man, the numbers, I wrote them down before the show because the third quarter numbers have been crazy. So game one, The Bucks lost the third quarter 21-36. Mm-hmm. Now the next three are crazy. The Bucks won the third quarter 39-18, 40-31 in game three, and last night 33-23. And Bill, like you were saying at halftime, these were close games.
Yeah.
And so it almost literally translates to however much you win the third quarter by, you're going to win the game. So when you guys come out, that's been the message, has been first 5 minutes, we got to really focus.
Yep.
Are you guys waiting now at this point? Do you just say, yeah, just keep it close? We'll just beat them in the third quarter.
Is that
the plan?
No, but that's definitely not the plan. We don't never want to go down. You know, the last two games we've been down 2 points, and, you know, we haven't played our best basketball those first two quarters. So, you know, we got a little rest, you know, a little energy, a little, you know, refocus, and come out and hit them in the mouth.
How much did it mean for you guys, Pat, yourself, George, a lot of the guys that weren't in that starting rotation,
the bench mob,
the last three games of the season, you guys got a ton of playing time. So it seemed like that was almost you were being seasoned as you got into the postseason. How much did those last three games of the regular season mean?
No, it was great. It was great for us. We all got a rhythm. We all got a chance, you know, get, like you said, significant minutes and, you know, just get reps, get game reps. Against you know, a few good teams. Oklahoma City was one of them. It was great for us all.
Now, and you especially against Atlanta.
Yes,
you got that start. Mm-hmm. Had 27 points. What did you have in the 14 in the first quarter? Had the three ball going. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that got you going. But you were a guy that last year, as a rookie, averaged 4 points. This year, you're averaging 6 points. But in the last 15 games of the regular season, you pretty much doubled your numbers. You were averaging 12 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, and that Atlanta game was a part of that. Do you feel like closing this season, the regular season at least, obviously the playoffs continue, but closing this regular season, you've been playing your best NBA ball in your two-year career?
Yeah, definitely. I, like you said, the numbers have shown, and I feel a lot more comfortable out there. You know, I've had 2 seasons to actually get a feel for the game and, you know, adjust to the different the physicality and the speed and everything, you know, putting me in position. Well, Coach putting me in positions like the Atlanta game at the end of the stretch, you know, being a go-to guy, being the guy to take the last shot, it's definitely a big factor for me as far as my development.
Yeah, and I think hearing that is awesome because, you know, before you came out, Bill and I were talking about kind of the bench and what is it about that group that you guys have been able to play so well, but I think hearing you just say that sums it up so well. Being given the ball in big-time situations, being asked to take the last second shot in certain games. You know, I think every NBA player has been the go-to guy at some point, but then in the NBA, all of a sudden, it's a few stars and a bunch of role players. But I think that's really cool to hear Coach Bud saying, hey, look, you're going to be the star again for a game. Get you back going. No, don't forget who you are. And I think we've seen it this year with the way the bench has played.
We were sitting here talking earlier as well about if I had to pick, like, the unsung hero. I mean, obviously Giannis has played tremendously, and everybody else is kind of filled in. George Hill and Pat Connaughton have played fantastic basketball. Yeah. I mean, you guys have won games not so much with your offense, but more so with your defense.
Yeah. We pride ourselves on defense. You know, defense wins championships. I know you know everybody knows the saying. And that's something that we just keep in our forefront, like defense. You know, whatever we do on defense, it'll make it easier on offense for us. You know, we'll be able to get rest. We'll, you know, get a stop, go ahead, go on down the other end for a transition bucket or something. Like, it's defense is what we pride ourselves on, and that's what's been getting the job done all year.
And how have you guys done such a good defensive job on Kyrie? Is there – I don't want you to give any tricks away yet. The series isn't over yet, but, I mean, you guys have, especially from three, you've disrupted him last night. Post-game, he was being interviewed, and they said, hey, Kyrie, you promised. You said you were going to come out and you were going to play better. But they said, but tonight you were 7 for 22 or 7 for 23. What happened? You could tell they were kind of baiting him. They were going at him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he said, I just missed shots. And, Bill, I think we were all thinking, well, I don't know. I think the defense
I
might have
defense,
had something to do with it. But,
yeah,
but how are you guys doing such a good job on him?
George and Eric, they doing an amazing job. You know, they making it real uncomfortable for him. They're being the pest, you know, picking him up full court every possession, not giving him no chances to just, you know, bring it up and get comfortable. They're, you know, making it tough on every single shot coming off of screens. It's the whole game plan is to make him uncomfortable, make the other guys, you know, beat us, and we're doing a great job. I mean, he's a great scorer. You know, he's going to get his shots up. He's going to make tough shots. He's going to do that. He's going to ooh and ah the crowd. But Those two guys are doing the whole team really is doing a great job of just making them real uncomfortable.
So following up on that, we were talking about this. The national narrative today has been not necessarily the Bucks won and are up 3-1. It is Kyrie is not hitting his shots, and all the blame goes on Kyrie. I don't know if I speak for all the fans, but does it just piss you off that nobody's given the Bucks any credit at all for playing good? You were the number one defensive team in the league this year, and nobody acknowledges it.
Nah, we've been taking that all year, man. We don't expect nobody to we've been underdogs pretty much all year, even though we've been the best team with the number one record and still going into the playoffs. So we definitely take that and we use that as fuel and motivation to keep going out and doing what we're doing. And it's we're gonna keep sneaking up on a lot of people and surprising a lot of people what we got to do in these next to finish off this round and the next two.
And what does it do for you guys too when you hear a guy like Paul Pierce? Because now look, Paul Pierce is not just a joker, right? This is a guy who's done it at the highest level. Everybody knows who he is. Maybe a little bit of a Boston homer. But after game one, he said, series is over. No chance. It's a wrap. We've seen all we need to see. Series is over. I mean, is that something you guys talk about or you guys hear? Or obviously not going to, go out there and play to beat Paul Pierce, but is that something you guys discuss or hear?
We all heard it. We heard it. We came when we seen each other on the plane or the bus, I forget where it was, we all just talked about it for 10 seconds and then we put it, in our fuel tank. That's it. We're not going to entertain nothing like that. We know, what type of guy he is by the things he says about a lot of different topics on the air. That's nothing that we really going to entertain, put too much energy into. We're just going to use it as fuel.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Sterling Brown of the Milwaukee Bucks. Steve Novak alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour brought to you by our friends at Hupe and Abraham. By the way, they are voted the best, rated the best year after year after year. And in addition to that, I want to remind you, you can find us on social media at MKE B-Ball Hour, all over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram as well. We got more of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour right after this. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, and it is presented by our good friends at Hupe and Abraham. They give you the injury report, by the way. They are voted best, rated best year after year after year, and it's the same, really. Pau Gasol has the ankle, and Malcolm Brogdon, we know he's out for an extended period of time. We're waiting to find out after he's reevaluated whether or not he's going to be back anytime soon, hopefully sooner rather than later. But nevertheless, that's where things stand right now. Knock on wood, nobody else has been injured, banged up. Sterling Brown is here with us, and he's looking good. I got to tell you, I wasn't sure. I think I gave credit on my show today to the wrong person. I did not realize on Pat Connaughton's block, you were the guy.
Oh, yeah, that was in it to him.
You threw the pass,
I thought,
right?
It was Eric at first because of the colored shoes. And I was sitting here talking with Jason Abraham before, and he said, no, that was Sterling. So I had to go back and look at the video, and sure enough, it is. The fact that you caught the ball in midair and passed the ball in midair without ever coming down to touch, and a one-hop bounce pass, perfect pass, Pat drops it in for a dunk. I mean, that was like at that point in time, you kind of felt, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, watching that game, that's it.
Yes.
Game's over.
That was a big play.
That was a big play right there. I mean, Pat started it, don't get me wrong, but that was a fantastic move.
And he gave you love now.
No, he did.
In the postgame,
he did,
said, they were like, tell us about the dunk, you had the block, da-da. And Pat showed love. He said, well, look, Sterling, if he hadn't caught the ball in midair and threw it before he landed right in the perfect place, I don't know if I would have been able.
No, I had to get it to him, man. I seen him leaking out after he blocked it, and I ain't see nobody, coming in for the ball. I'm like, why not? I mean, just get it to him. It was right down the money, and, he finished the play.
Did you get the sense that Boston threw their best punches at you and you guys kind of withstood it and it deflated them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, both games in the beginning, they went up, I want to say, 10 to 12 points each game. We stormed back, took a lead. Then, in halftime, both games we were down two. And we didn't play nearly as good as we've been playing all year or in this series at all. And we came out and we, took care of business the first 5 minutes. And it really deflated them. That last run that we had, the second unit had in this last game, like I want to say the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, we went on a big run and the starters came in and they finished it off.
But when you guys haven't played your best in this series so far, you know, there's been questions after game one, like, oh, my goodness, what are the Bucks going to do? Are they going to start different lineups? Are they going to make some crazy adjustments? And the message from the team and from Coach Bud has been an overwhelming, we're not going to make adjustments. We think that's overrated. Are y'all doing some real secret adjustments and you're saying you're not? Or did you really just get that much better after game one?
And the adjustments is Chris Middleton going off in game two.
That's
Eric
an adjustment,
Bledsoe
right?
Doing his thing in game three. Brooke Lopez contributing in game three. Giannis taking over in game four. The bench taking over. George Hill taking over in game three and four. Like, man, we so stacked, and it's a great situation to be in. When one through 15, one through 13 can play significant minutes and contribute. That's the secret weapon right there for us.
I like that.
When Coach came to you and said, "Hey, I'm going to start Mirotić in game two." I mean, everybody wants to start and be the guy coming out of the tunnel, that type of thing. But what did he say to you? And because you didn't miss a beat, you came off the bench and you've been performing. So, I mean, I know it means something to everybody. What did he say to you when he said, "Hey, I'm going to put Mirotić in the starting lineup here"?
I mean, he just simply said that, we're going to go with Mirotić this game. And, that's pretty much it. We're going to go with Mirotić. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Let's go ahead and get these wins. It doesn't matter. I've been in all type of roles throughout the year, ups and downs, not playing, starting, coming off the bench, sixth man, seventh man. Like, I've been in all type of situations, but I just got to adjust and go out there and perform. I can't let it affect me mentally because it's not worth it. It's a long season. A lot of things happen. Guys go down. So, got to be the next man up, and I got to be ready. And I feel like I've done a pretty good job.
Well, and you look at this team, and the truth is, I know mid-season when the bench was starting to really emerge and show who they were, there was talk of, look, there's a lot of guys on this bench that could be starting on other teams.
Yeah.
And I think that's really been proven, right? It's like there are so many guys that are on that bench that could be our starter level and could be doing that on other teams. So it wouldn't, to me, at least just watching, it wouldn't be crazy if you start one game, Nico starts another game, Ilya Sova starts, DJ Wilson starts. It feels like the Bucks have the luxury of saying, this game, we feel this, and the matchups look like this. Sterling, you're getting the call.
Yeah.
Next game, Nico, you get the call. And, hey, look, maybe that was another one of those little adjustments, like you said. There's no real adjustments, but go play better. Go make more shots. Chris Middleton, go make seven threes. I like that as the adjustment. Go make more shots.
Yeah, definitely.
Has it been better communication, too? I think one of the things coming out of game one that Giannis had said during the post game was that we got to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been –
sure.
It's because it's difficult on the road, especially when a building gets loud. But then again, you quieted that building. But has it been better communication?
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of emphasis on that going into Boston. The crowd's going to be loud. We got to stick with each other, stay together, help out each other. Help each other out and just buckle down and get the job done. There's no secret that when you have a good defensive team, communication is at the top of the list as far as things you got to do in order to execute the game plan and get stopped. So we definitely had a lot of emphasis on that.
And how big time has George Hill been in terms of communication and getting guys on the same page and calling things out on the court?
Oh yeah, he's been real big. He's one of the the leaders on the team. Has championship experience. Has 10 years under his belt. He's definitely been real vocal on both ends of the floor in the locker room. Just when we hanging out, when we just talking, he shares a lot of information with us, and has been helpful throughout the whole year.
I know Pau Gasol hasn't been able to play, but when we had him on the program, he talked about what he felt his responsibility as a veteran was. Mm-hmm. How has he been in that locker room, in practice, in film study?
He's been great, very vocal. During the game, when we had a few bad stretches, he'll be the one in the huddle, yelling and saying what we got to do, how we got to pick it up, giving us pointers and telling us things to do. In practice, he's helped me out tremendously. When he sees something that I'm not doing or something that he suggests I should do, he'll come right up to me and say, "Sterling, you got to do X, Y, and Z." And I can't do nothing but listen. I mean, he has, multiple championships, years under his belt, seen the game, different decades. I've played it, at the highest level for a while. So his vocal tactics and leadership has been very helpful for us.
Now, but when we had Malcolm on and we had DJ on, they said when Powell signed with the Bucks, they actually went and watched YouTube clips. They said, look, he's so old. We actually had to go look at what he had really done because we were like babies when he was winning championships in Spain.
Yeah.
Did you really know what you just said all about him, or did you YouTube him too and look up all his clips?
No, I knew what Powell was doing because my brother played with him in 2010, 2009, won two championships with him, and I was watching pretty much every game, so I knew what he was doing. I researched him back then to see what he was doing when he came from Memphis, so I knew a little bit about Powell coming in.
Who taught Giannis the beast mode face?
Man, that's within him, man. That's something that can't nobody teach. He always had that edge in him.
He looked like he was going to rip down a backboard last night.
It sure did. Well, look, when you see him make that face, I swear, the games are over.
Oh, yeah.
True, right? If you could pull every time he did that, he doesn't ever, I feel like, make that face in the first quarter.
No, not even. He got to get himself going, got to get a feel for the game, and he got to strike that fear in the opponent, and, you know, around the second half and around the third, fourth quarter.
Did you ever just nudge somebody and just go ahead, make a man?
Yeah, exactly.
Make a man.
No, guys don't really talk to him, and the guys that do talk to him, they walk off the court quiet every time. it doesn't work.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live down here at Rare Milwaukee, the steakhouse right down here in Michigan. Fantastic place. Is it not fantastic? Thank you very much. This food right here is unbelievable right here. Thanks to the entire staff down here. We got a whole lot more coming up. The Network Health Difference Maker, the season's difference maker, is Coach Bud, obviously improving the defense, the offense, getting the guys ready. This has been a tremendous run, and that's the Network Health Difference Maker. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We've got more right after this. Broadcasting live at Rare Steakhouse Milwaukee. I just said to Steve Novak and Sterling Brown, who are sitting here, Sterling Brown of the Milwaukee Bucks, Steve Novak of this aforementioned program and the Bucks analyst, that if you ever, and I hope you never do, but if you ever commit a crime in which you are going to the electric chair and they say, what would your last meal be? If you don't get any of this food from down here, you die a lonely person.
And this is like that good. And look what they have in front of us. My goodness. I mean, we can't eat while we're...
What was that stuff, the cracked? What is it?
Some kind of the best bacon, pork. Look, some crab cake. We have some Wagyu.
That's Wagyu beef over there.
Some Brussels sprouts.
Sterling, now I know you eat well.
Sterling just left.
Yeah,
he just got up and got a fork. He's not on
just,
anymore.
That's obscene, man. The scallops are that good, too. But, oh, my goodness. So if you're going to do anything, Rare Steakhouse Milwaukee, they are not open for Mother's Day, but for everything else, this is the place to be without a doubt. So you get ready now. You got a closeout game coming.
Yes.
If you guys can get the job done. Two things. First and foremost, how excited are you to have an opportunity to do this at the Fiserv Forum?
Oh, it's great, man. Doing it in front of the fans who've been showing nothing but love and support all year long, it's great, man. We went into the road trip focused, knowing that we had to get two games, and knowing that it's a possibility that we can close it out. So we took care of business there, and we got to take care of business tomorrow.
How do you maintain that focus? Do you think back to what it was like in game one, or how would you guys continue to not allow Boston basically to turn into who you guys became after game one? Game one, you guys came out beating by 21.
Yeah, no, we got to hit them in the mouth early. As soon as the game, jump ball, we got to hit them. And if they do come out, strong, we got to withstand the storm and continue to stick to the game plan and the principles and, just continue to do what we've been doing, the whole series. I feel like we'll be pretty successful.
When you get into a situation like this, now last year it was tough. You guys were on the road. You were going toe-to-toe with them. You couldn't get that win on the road.
Yeah.
How big was that win in confidence building the other night when you got the first win in Boston? Because it seemed like getting out of the first round, that was the big thing. You did it. Getting a win on the road, you did it. Getting a win on the road against Boston, you did it. It seems like every dragon you've slayed, you got to be flying high right now.
Yeah, it was huge. It was a sigh of relief. We finally got that one under our belt, the first one under our belt. Like you said, last year it was every game we should have won. The games we went into overtime, we feel like we had that one. It was just little things that we did, and we gave it up. But getting that first one under our belt, it was huge for everybody, and it definitely you know, lifted everybody's spirits and gave us a boost of confidence.
Well, and Bill, we talked about this a little bit earlier too, about I just think with this Bucks team, you can believe your eyes at this point. What you're seeing is real. I mean, the Bucks have won, you guys have won 23 of your last 30 road games. And, and Bill, like you were saying, I think not only the road, but Boston specifically, it was like, is there this Boston curse? Can they not win there? Going there and winning those last two. I mean, I just think that was such a big time step, such a statement. And now, like you just said, Bill, coming back to Fiserv, what do you expect that building to be like tomorrow?
It better be ecstatic, man. It better
this
be,
is your chance to call to the fans. What do you want them to be like tomorrow?
We need everybody, you know, standing up from, you know, tip to finish, man. For all 48, we need everybody engaged, locked in, and we're going to put on a show.
Tomorrow night, you expect, again, Boston's best punch. You've taken it already a couple of times. Do you kind of know in your mind that we're about to get it?
Here it comes.
It's not that you're like scared of it. It's just that, you know, here it comes. Brace for it, and then figure out what we're doing after that. Or are you an aggressor saying, you know what, we're going to deliver the blow?
No, we're going to deliver the blow, but we know that they're going to come out strong. You know, they got their backs against the wall right now. You know, down 3-1, and I don't see them as being as a team that's just going to lay down and give us the game. You know, Brad Stevens is going to come out with a great game plan. He's going to have the guys ready. No, we got to be ready as well, but they better know that we're going to come out swinging.
Well, and to be fair, we've talked about the national pundits, and look, Paul Pierce, a little bit of a hater, right? He said some things. So on the other side, I would say this. Charles Barkley said after game three.
After last night.
Well, I think it was after the Bucks won the first game in Boston.
Oh, okay.
He came out and said, the Milwaukee Bucks will not lose to the Boston Celtics again. The Celtics are done. Mm-hmm. They won't win another game. So, as much as you probably dislike Paul Pierce and the things that he said, maybe you got to go do this for Charles. Make Charles right, because he's wrong about almost every prediction that he has. But I feel like he is on to something.
Well, he also said that you were going to win the championship.
He sure did.
Yeah. He said last night you're going to win the championship.
If
you looked about his predictions about the Bucks, he's only missed one.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
So he's been wrong about everything else, and his golf swing is terrible.
He's been practicing on that. I've been seeing him.
He's killing less animals in the woods. So
this is true. That golf swing that he has, though, it really is. Like, if you swung like that, why would you keep playing golf? I mean, there's some things people go
give
like
it up at some point.
Yeah, do you play golf?
It's not working out. not really. I ain't been on a 18. I haven't been like on a course. Top Golf, I'm a king out there.
Top Golf, you're the guy.
I can do my thing. I get it where it need to be.
The funnel, all the golf balls go into the hole at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't want to ruin it for you, but you know it's all slanted towards the hole in Top Golf, right?
Oh yeah.
No.
I try to hit as far back to the right as possible.
So best of luck tomorrow night. We know that the entire city, the entire state's rooting for you guys. I know you guys are starting to hear it now and feel it now. Mm-hmm. Get this one, get a little rest, and then we'll get you back on the program real soon.
Yes, sir.
Sound good? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
For Steve Novak, I'm Bill Michaels. Thanks to everybody for coming out tonight. The Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak is presented by Hubie and Abraham. Thanks to the staff at Rare Steakhouse. Give them a nice round of applause because the food is fantastic. It is time for us to get out of here. Get home safe. Have a good one. Go Bucks. Fear the air. Soup.
Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.